AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive, turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Wounded to Wonderful and Keeping It Real. Yes, this is your place and your destination to have real talk about real life things in real time with real people. We provide practical, evidence-based tips and tricks to build resilience, well-being, and unlock your highest potential to be empowered in your life. I'm your host, Edna J. White, and I want to welcome you to today's topic, how colorism shapes our standard of beauty. Now, I know that I was supposed to have two guests on today, and one tried to get on, and his audio was not working, and I just wanted to shout out to him and say to Alexandra Segan that I know that you're worried that you weren't going to be able to be on the show, but we will try to get that kind of handled for you. And Dr. Mary Sagars was supposed to be on, but she has not responded, but we're going to keep moving on. Nothing is going to change, and I think that this is teaching me resilience. You know, I introduce myself as being resilient. You know, our show is supposed to build resilience. And building resilience means sometimes there's going to be some problems and there's going to be some issues and you're going to have to make things up and you're going to have to be the life of the party sometimes. So as we get started on today's topic, how colorism shapes our standard of beauty. Now, we all know, in no matter if we're from the European descent or from the African descent, we all know that there's always some colorism going on in no matter what it is. You know, have you ever been told that your skin complexion does not go well with a shade of color or a shirt? You know, have you ever been told that, like, oh, you don't look good in that color, you don't look good in that? And those are kind of like ways that colorism has been interjected into our society of how we're supposed to be beautiful and how we're supposed to look. It's just someone's own issue about your color, which is probably that their issue is that you're kind of great looking and they want to try to, you know, constantly berate your color. We all come in different shapes and sizes, but the things that seem to affect everyone most is our skin color. They say that beauty lies within the skin, but in the society we live in, we tend to judge people constantly without even realizing it. Colorism is discrimination based on skin color amongst individuals with dark skin. This isn't just a social issue, it also affects everyone. Children, adults, even adults are being affected by that, by this, you know, just growing up. I didn't get that, colorism and, you know, at all. I knew that I was different when I came up here to New York. And I knew that I was, you know, different because everyone in my school was white. So I knew that. The only difference that they really kind of showed me was my hair. My hair was different than theirs. And I needed to understand why my hair was different than theirs. So you can actually tell from what people are saying and doing with your children by the questions they ask you. We know that colorism, it traces way back to the European imperialism and colonialism. We know that. 18th, 19th, and even the 20th century. European settlers spread the ideology of beauty standards to people of color because they wanted to degrade them. You know, Europeans told people of color their skin was considered unattractive because Europeans believed that they were privileged and had more rights than anyone else. So to this day, this idea affects the world and lowers self-esteem. It leads to stereotypes and it dehumanizes people. So I know that we all have our, you know, have our issues or, you know, have encountered, I don't want to say issues, have encountered someone saying something about your color and it stuck with you. You know, it's incredible how colorism really sticks with you. And I often think about people lightening their skin. I often think about Michael Jackson a lot of times, but I think Michael Jackson's issue was different. But I often think about just people just lightening their color because it didn't look good in the commercial areas. It wasn't normal enough, you know, and it gives us this sense of that we're not normal. And becoming lighter to fit in. I've even seen commercial ads or even reading different books, how people down through history has softened the looks of our black, you know, ancestors. Like, you know, Frederick Douglass. I've seen how they've smoothed out the roughness of his face so to look a little bit more white. Or Harriet Tubman, how she was, you know, very ruddy and they kind of smoothed it out to make it better. And we can even go back as far as Aunt Jemima, you know, smoothing her face out. And now I think they like a little bit ago, a little while ago, they even gave her a perm of some type because she had a head rag on for so many years. Those type of things make us feel that we're not normal enough, or we feel the need to change ourselves to fit in. And thus so many issues and problems in schools, thus so many issues and problems at work, thus so many issues and problems within our own dynamics, you know, family dynamics, friends dynamic. Thus, so many issues. I remember one of my clients was a sophomore, young person, and she said white people always told her that she was too dark. And she used to think about it over and over and over and over again. And she used to hear some of her schoolmates would tell her, "You don't look good in that color, so stop." So she stopped wearing the color. She stopped putting it on. And because she used to love that color that made her happy, they made that color sad. So she began to tell me also that she would buy products and try to bleach her skin to fit in. You know, skin bleaching has become accessible for everyone around the world. And, you know, a perfect example of that is Dove. That is the, the whole commercial part of a dark woman is Dove. Is, you know, they've rejected black women and their colors for so long, and now just recently they're putting them back into, you know, magically putting them back into being beautiful for everyone now. But it's all, you know, that's commercialism. You know, that's what commercials do. I'm talking about people in general. And the commercialism creates the people. The people brutalize and dehumanize black people. It's not always comfortable in any setting unless you're comfortable in your own skin. There will be ignorant people who try to lower your self-esteem because they're pretty much jealous of you. Because I've never seen so much jealousy come out until they created the perm. Do you remember that? And the perm wasn't made for us. Their hair was created to be curly. You remember that in the 80s? All of a sudden everybody's got this big poof, you know? But before then, we couldn't go to work like that. There was a stereotype. There was a role that we had to play. We had to dress. We had to pull our hair back. You know, we couldn't wear a fro. We had to pull our hair back and conform to the white world of business, the white world of school. We had to conform because our skin wasn't light enough. And you know, when talking to my client, she was angry. She had became angry. And the anger set in. And of course, the stereotype set into her soul and began to create this hurt person that, you know, because that wasn't corrected, she began to hurt other people. You know, and say to her own friends, "Oh, you're too dark, and you know, you need to," you know, all of this. It creates this circle of stereotypes. It plays big. Colorism plays big and hurt people, hurt other people, and hurt their feelings, and it keeps going on and on and on. I remember someone had told me, "Oh, you look prettier in, you know, a certain color." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, well, when you start buying my clothes for me, maybe you can tell me something." So I stopped trying to change who I am, because that's who I am. I am who I am. And I stopped trying to fit in, because there's no way that you're going to fit into any group of or clique. You're never going to fit in to a clique. We weren't created to fit into cliques. Colorism and its impacts creates those cliques. Colorism is racism at its sneakiest form. And it's degrading and it's dehumanizing. It's the sneakiest form of racism there is. I've never been too much on trying to fit in, because I was always someone who was kind of pretty happy being alone at some point. But I know that some of my clients and even my adult clients who are in business now and are trying to move forward in business, those things come up. Colorism has a very negative effect on society. By saying that little thing, that little insertion of little color on the outfit, and it's not your color, it's wrong. You know, we need to stop and stop worrying about things and stop judging others based on their looks. We're so busy about judging others on their looks and how superior we're supposed to be and you know, looking at their flaws, and we're actually looking at their flaws, picking those flaws up, and those are the flaws that we have. Because like, recognize like. So I don't even understand how people can say that they don't like someone or they rub me the wrong way. No, they rub you the right way. They have the same flaws you have. And you see yourself. So you, what you have to do, you dehumanize them. You make fun of that or you say something negative. We're unique in our own way. And we have to believe that. We have to be so very comfortable in our skin. Yes, you know, we may not fit clothes the way we want to at times. Yes, that we may look in the mirror and something new is there, you know. But I always say, wear a wrinkle like a boss. You know, if you want to, you know, curl your hair, wear it like a boss. You know, you don't need to walk around like you floating on air like you're better than someone else. But you do have to end the war on colorism because it impacts our beauty standards. And now, how does it affect our beauty standards? We may think, especially women, let's just say that. This affects especially women. I'm not saying it doesn't affect men, but the impact is greater for women. Because why? Because then we go and say, oh, since our hair is kinky or has a tighter curl, we're going to go and straighten it. Or we're not going to wear our hair at all. We're going to cover it up and not even take care of it. Because we've been impacted by colorism. That part of being considered beautiful was not something that somebody shared with us or gave to us. So again, we mesh in to what everyone is supposed to be, you know, in society, what you're supposed to be. And I don't try to conform to society. I do have an issue with adding things that I have problems with dealing with later on. So like if I have to wear, you know, weave or a wig, that has to be maintained. So that's something additional on top of what I have to do. I like to be comfortable. And I know that, you know, I have to be aware of certain things. But at this moment in my life where you should be, and, you know, no matter if you're a teen, if you're a 12-year-old, if you're a 30-year-old, if you're a 50-year-old, if you're a 60-year-old, you have to be comfortable in your own skin. The things that people have said is because they thought they had privilege to say it. When people are saying things in your life and it kind of impacts you, you've given them the right to do it. And they don't have the right to do it. They don't have the right to say it. They don't have the right to usurp that power over you that a color doesn't look well on you or look great on you. This subject is really close to my heart because it really, really is a very serious, harmful effect. People don't realize that when they do judge, when they do, you know, say this person is too light or just things about color. The effects of colorism is far-reaching. Skin color bias has an impact on self-esteem, beauty standards, and even personal relationships. Believe me, I've been there, I've done that. I was choosing because of someone said, well, the lighter the person is. I remember when I was, you know, dating, you know, and women would say to me, oh, you make sure you know who you're getting involved with because their hair has got to be great. And then I end up with somebody with great hair and they were not great. So skin tone has nothing to do with it. All it is a serious social problem. And its repercussions should not be underestimated. I'm telling you, because the effects of it on your relationships, it diffuses it. It people of color can usually turn to supporting their own community, but that's not necessarily a case of colorism, where members or persons of the own racial group may reject a color or resent a color of skin. It then reverts back to where we were talking before, white supremacy. You know, you look for comfort in your group of people that look like you. And I remember I used to say, I never want to walk past another person of color and not either give them, you know, the head nod or the hello or the smile. But I see people doing that all the time. I see people of color, women of color, walking past each other. But yet they will stop and say something to a white person, a white woman. And that is color. That's the effects of colorism. That's the effects of it. It's definitely effect of it. I see in, you know, I see certain civic groups, clubs and sororities, I see it in that. That's why I never wanted to be involved in it. Even in neighborhoods, and you know I'm in real estate, so even in neighborhoods, the effects of colorism is sitting right there. If people could not see at this time, and everyone was blind, they still would have that thought in their head, well, black people sound like this and white people sound like this. So they have the stereotype. They would have that in their minds. That really has to be washed away. How it can be washed away is simply you, one person, start changing how you feel about things. Stop changing it. Start judging. That's the whole thing. It's so intense and it's so personal that it leads parents to even favor one child over the other for skin color. It erodes the children's self-worth. It breaks their trust down between parents and children. And it even fosters sibling rivalry. We think it's nothing. We gloss over it. Oh, that's what sisters and brothers do. No, it's colorism. It's colorism at its worst, and it's racism within our own race. How awful is that? Boy, I wish somebody was here to talk to me about this, because this is a subject that I know that is so important and so impactful to so many. Colorism also narrows the beauty standards. Those who embrace colorism not only tend to value lighter-skinned people over darker-skinned counterparts, but they also view them as intelligent, noble, and attractive. So the darker you are, the more unintelligent you are. Wow. See the effects of colorism? You see that? It's been, you know, I can't even fathom this with, like, actresses like we have Lupita and Gabrielle Union and Kiki Palmer. We've had them speak about this growing problem. And we have such beautiful people as those women in the acting field. And yet, we still have not gotten rid of colorism. Rather, us acknowledge that beauty can be found in all skin tones. Colorism narrows beauty standards by deeming only light people as beautiful and everyone else less than. And that's not where the way to go. It's a sad state of affairs. There's a link between colorism and racism and classism. Colorism is always thought of as a problem in afflicted communities of color. Europeans have prized themselves of fair skin and flaxen hair for centuries. And blonde hair and blue eyes remain status symbols for some people. As you travel, you'll see that. But I'm talking about right here in good old Long Island, New York, where some of us become enslaved with the fair skin, the flaxen hair, the blonde hair and the blue eyes. I'm not saying that you can't dye your hair. That's not what I'm saying. But when you identify with those things and you act like those things make you and deem you superior and everyone else is inferior, that's when you've become inflicted with colorism. If a child was born with dark skin and learns that dark skin is not valued by their peers, the community, and their society, he or she develops a feeling of shame. And shame, unawares, can actually become acting out. And with that misunderstanding, racism and classism come about. It's difficult for a child to understand that no one's color is good or bad. It's good. It's difficult. But if you teach non-judgment, if you act non-judgmental, if you remove those stigmas in your heart, in your mind, on how darker skin, lighter skin, this person, that person, everyone is all at the same playing level. Everyone. Because we're all human. Even your boss doesn't have the right to dehumanize you. Because then now you're up on the chopping block, like in slavery times, and you're allowing that. All I'm saying is that, you know, colorism has got to go because it's got a bigger and a broader and a more damaging effect on us as persons, in our relationships, in our businesses, in our communities, totally in our lives. So I'm asking you, you know, gain back. Let's get back our self-worth and in our personal relationships. Let's get back that just for ourselves. I'm not asking you to go around and tell everybody else not to do it. I'm asking you, you know, today, look inside yourself and see, you know, where have I been doing that? What have I been doing to keep this colorism going, this racism going, even within my community or with other people? What have I been doing to do that? I hope you got something out of today. I know I'm by myself, but this is a great subject. I think I might come back to it and ask someone else to come in and just talk about this on the psychological level, because it's also on the psychological level that colorism affects. And I really like to talk about that. I think that we have a show coming up with that very same issue, and we have some heavy hitters in that area, psychologists that are coming up and talking about this, and from another country. Now, if you can get that from another country, you can definitely get it, you know, from the world, this USA that we have, the melting pot of everyone. But this is Edna J. White, and I am so glad that you're here. Thank you for listening in, and listen, send me your comments. You know, look for me on Facebook at EJW Coaching. Look for me there. Subscribe to this anchor station so that you can sit here and actually go on my YouTube to see the videos. But I would like you to subscribe. And if you want to subscribe, please share with someone else. We're going to keep this momentum going. We've been doing so well. We've been asked now to be on Hulu. So I'm so excited that our podcast and our commercial is going to be on Hulu. So I'm asking you, I'm asking you to please subscribe to this podcast. And this is Edna J. White, and I am signing off because I know that you are so important to me. Thank you, audience. Thank you, friends. Thank you, family, for listening in.
For 25 years, Brightview Senior Living Associates have been committed to creating a vibrant culture and delivering exceptional services, making Brightview a great place to work and live. If you're looking for a rewarding opportunity to serve your local community and grow, we want you to join our team. Brightview Senior Living is growing and actively seeking vibrant associates to join our community teams, including directors, healthcare, activities, hospitality, and dining. Apply today at careers.brightviewseniorliving.com.
Equal employment opportunities.
Text BV Jobs to 97211 to apply.
Over two centuries ago, it was England that taxed our tea. Now it's Brussels trying to regulate our companies. Under new European regulations, American businesses face crushing fines, forced disclosures, and foreign red tape that kills jobs here at home. America's laws should be written in America, not Brussels. Reject European regulatory overreach and uphold Trump's trade deal. Paid for by Americans for Limited Government.